Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 128, part 1, Victorious Faith. Today is Friday, January 1st, 2010. Happy New Year!
There is hope in Jesus. There is life so real. You can feel love like you've never felt before. Like a child who trusts his father, you must hold out your hand in faith.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries Historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue North in Minneapolis. If you need food in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, or make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. At the blog, you're going to find scripture links within the message that are posted there, so you'll be able to link to those scripture links. Be sure to join us for both episodes, part one on Friday and the conclusion, part two on Sunday. We're going to start the month out with Victorious Faith. Is this thing from God? Rule and reward of serving Jesus. Comfort and consistency. Our trials and our divine deliverances. Again, have a great month. We'll see you back here for each episode. Have a great year in 2010. God bless you.
Titled Victorious Faith. Victorious Faith. Now let's look at something tonight I think is much talked about, and you're going to hear more about it as we go on, because that's the life that we now live. And it's faith. And how we try to direct it. By our feelings and by our emotions, we try to shove faith around, make it work out for ourselves in some way. And how we squirm when God sent trials and we try to blame it on someone else, when it's all from the author and from the finisher of our faith. You try to squirm out of the story that God has written for you. For me, recently I ended a 22-day fast, and I had a lot of comment on it. Oh, you shouldn't work during that. Well, see, it's according to your faith. You should recluse during this time, not do anything, not think anything, just get in there and recluse. You should go away to some faraway hill and just pray out there. And even some people gave me prophecy, 4 or 5 letter prophecy, on what to do when you get into a fast. And what God had told them that I was supposed to do while I was praying and while I was in this fast. So I thought, it's kind of strange, I haven't heard from God yet. I thought, this is all fine and well-meaning, but preachers, we need to hear and to see Jesus only. And that's at times, I believe we should. See and hear Jesus only. So the last 2 weeks, I've spent 7 days out on the coast, was I alone? Did I refuse all work? Did I hide in a prayer closet? Did I receive a word from someone? No, none of those things. No. I wasn't alone. I was with my family, and God was doing a work. I didn't refuse all work because I had to move all of my mother's furniture out of the apartment and put it in a storage. That's the first trip. Or did I hide in a prayer closet? No, I didn't hide in a prayer closet because wasn't at my house, and I didn't feel like I'd just bust into somebody's closet and just go in there and pray in there. No, I didn't do that. But did I receive a word from someone? Well, not so that you'd know it. No, on all points, let me read you something out of Matthew 15, 21 through 28. And here it is. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman came out from the region and began crying out, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came to him and kept asking him, saying, "Send her away, for she is shouting out after us." But he answered and said, "I was only sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. Ooh. I think we learned from that chapter that our master was tired of battling with people, with the hypocrites and with the formalists. And so he withdrew from himself and went out by himself, and they had to come to him with all kinds of advice and all kinds of charges. They even came to him saying that he was the devil. They even came to him saying that he was a whoremonger, an adulterer, if you will. They even came to him and said that he was a drunk. I mean, he had all these charges. And also they said that his disciples did not observe the traditions of the elders. I mean, they were telling him, "You're not in the Word." They were telling the Word, "You don't know the Word." They also made a big fuss about their eats and drinks and the washing of hands and all sorts of trifles. Don't we have that right now? We're just dealing a lot of times with just trifles. But what he told them was very effective. And I believe it shut their mouths once and for all. He told them, don't be concerned with the external, but with the internal. How many have found that out? If you want to start dealing and God starts dealing with you, it's not so much, we can be acting out things on the outside. We know there's things wrong on the inside. And so he's saying, don't you be concerned so much with all these rituals and what we eat and what we don't eat and what we, you know, the rituals and all that that you're doing outwardly, but more for the inside. Because it's what comes out of a man that tells a man. And so he told him, don't be concerned with the external, but the internal. Your words, he was saying, and your actions show where your heart is. So many times I've noticed, even about myself, I can tell where my heart is by what I have to say. Say amen, somebody. Now, you find somebody that gets hurt and wounded, they're going to let out a whole lot of things that they're going to be sorry that they said after that they said them. Say amen. A lot of times you get around people been saying a whole lot of things, you're going to have that in the end times. My word, you're going to have it in your families. It says the mother's going to be against the daughter, the son against the father, and so on like that. And you're going to run into all kinds of things like that right in your own family. There's going to be a lot of hurt done in the end times, because the Bible says so. There's going to be a upheaval of all kinds of emotions and all kinds of things, and there's going to come a separation between the sheep and the goats. It's all going to come about by a whole lot of conversation shouldn't have happened in the first place. Say amen, somebody. But he completely destroyed their arguments. He said, you talk a lot, but you do a little. You say a whole lot of things, but you're not doing too much. Do you not feel sometimes yourself to tell the great multitude of counselors this? To not worry so much about how you look, your wrangles, about your rituals and your outward ceremonies and who's the greatest. Those things mean so very little. To me right now, being great in the eyes of people means very little to me. That's the truth about it. Because I believe when we start doing the Lord's work, we're going to look like hardly anything, insignificant. You're going to look like whoremongers. You're going to look, they're going to call you all kinds of names, it says in the end times. You're going to start doing the Lord's work. You're going to be misunderstood, misquoted, and hated in the house of your friends. Say amen, somebody. I'll tell you something. It's going to look like everything's going to fall apart, and that means when everything's going to go together, because you've got to walk by faith, and I'm talking about victorious faith tonight. How many are hearing what I'm saying here tonight? Sometimes it's not so easy to get up and preach. You find that out, and it says in the end times, don't you worry about what you're going to say, because in that hour, God will give you what to say. And I believe tonight I'm standing here, God is going to give me what to say. I believe someone's going to be delivered by the power of God here. I believe something's going to happen here tonight. I believe with all my heart and all my soul. And say amen, somebody. I think it's time to preach or start preaching and preach it right. There'll be all kinds of hellish demons all over the place. Don't you listen to them for a moment. Oh, you just start following the Lord. Do what you think is right in the sight of God and go on doing right. And I'll tell you, it'll all work out for you. All things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Say amen, somebody. And let's get on with this message. Besides, don't you feel as if there's something better for you to do besides always fighting? I, for one, I'm not going to fight no more. No. I'm not going to get into vain discussions. I'm not going to get into arguments anymore. I'm just going to put forth a word and go ahead and do it. Nobody else does it. I'm going to do it all by myself. Say amen, somebody. The Lord helping me. Say amen, somebody. That's the way it's got to be. And I think down here in the mission, we're finding that out more and more and more and more. There's a whole lot of folks don't want to get into what we're doing down here. But I think the Lord wanted to leave this very argumentative atmosphere. Oh, my God. God, I tell you, I was out there in California, and you know, I've had some arguments. When you're in ministry, you get in arguments. I'm on the radio, people call up, blah, 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 and you get into arguments with this one. Or even in my mind, I get into arguments. Sometimes I don't say anything, but I get into arguments with my mind, you know what I mean? And I got out there, and I thought, my God, I'm so free out here, and the sun is shining and everything. What's to keep me from just keep right on walking down this old boulevard right here and walk right into the sunset and right into the old ocean out there and just lay out there for a while and then just, you know, beachcomb out here? You mean you actually thought that? Well, I'm just telling you like it is. Say amen. I think all of you feel that way once in a while, like running away. Huh? How many here feel like running away every once in a while? There's two people that ran away, now they're over here. They ran out of money. Did you ever feel like that? I thought, my God, I'm just so free out here and nobody knows me, and I just thought, you know, I could dance out here in the gutter. Nobody even know who I was. I could just make a fool out of myself. Nobody was out. Look at that fool out there. Who'd care? Say amen, somebody. See, when you're in ministry, you're always scrutinized very heavy. And there's always somebody watching you all the time. See what you're doing. My God. People are so interested. Hey, preachers listening on the radio. We're so interested in what each other's doing all the time. Well, get interested so much, come on over here and do something. That's all I got to say to you. Say amen, somebody. Get so interested, you come on over and get yourself busy. But I got away from all that spiritual, and I had a release from the atmosphere of debate and spiritual wrestling. You know, sometimes I think, preachers, you're better off to lay down and let somebody pin you. Because if you're pinned and you're down and you say, I give, then you can get up. I mean, at times, you have to allow yourself to be pinned. Talking about leaving the atmosphere of argumentative spirits. Say amen, somebody. Now, I found out, of course, after that first day, there were argumentative spirits out there in California. God, I got out there and I thought, no, man, nobody's arguing out here. Didn't hear one word of rebuke or arguing or debate or anything. But it wasn't long and it popped its ugly old head up, so it's the same all over, same and somebody. Woo. But here we have Jesus, and he needed some breathing room. He needed to get away to a quiet place to rest a while, to recover, if you will, from the sense of oppression and the weariness such company causes. You ever been in company and you just get weary of listening to them? Huh? Oh my, you just get so weary and they got the same old blab all the time. Now, I know you on the radio are listening to this. I'm not talking about your husband, particular wife or nothing. I'm talking about company, whatever it is. And you're around this certain company and you get weary with them because they got the same old argumentative spirit and the same old things is wrong with them all the time. And you want to get away someplace and you just want to go someplace and rest. Well, that's what happened to me. I went out and I had a nice rest. I didn't hide in a prayer closet. I didn't go any particular place, but I was in a new place, in a new room, if you will. A California room. Do you hear what I'm saying? And it was a sort of a rest. But Jesus wanted to get away from these people. And I started to read this story. I says, you know what? I feel like that myself. And I said to myself, I says, imagine these Pharisees and these Sadducees counseling God. Here they are, and they're counseling God. And so he left these religious people and he went to where the heathens were. Now I'm down here on the north side and I left this rosy-posy, high on a hill, noble mountain ministry out there. Glad I did. And I'll tell you why I came down here, and there's real folks down here. Say amen, somebody. Real people, real problems. They're just more natural. Say amen, somebody. I mean, they're more natural. It's more natural for me. Now, I went to a few churches while I was out there. And I'm observant. And I went to one church, and they had all this praising and prayer and everything. While it's going on, people were talking back and forth. I just can't tolerate that, you know what I mean? And then the guy was giving this fantastic message, and everybody was punching each other and talking to each other and carrying on, and hi, Sue, and hi, Fred, and so on like that. And I almost felt like getting up and giving a message myself. Say amen, somebody. Really, I did. I almost felt like getting up and giving a message and say, hey, why don't people just behave themselves? Oh, it seems like always somebody's got a word of doom for you. My God, how about a word of encouragement once in a while? Say amen, somebody. And that's just the way it is, isn't it? So I was out there, and I was getting right with myself and getting right with God, seeking the Lord on what different moves that I should make out there. In the middle of all this, getting the funeral thing and the second trip and so on like that, and getting my sisters together and getting my brothers together. And so I wasn't in the closet, was I? No, God was using me while I was out there, and I think God is going to use anybody wherever that they go. But Mark tells us that he entered into the house and would have no man know it. In other words, he didn't go there to preach. When I went out to California, I did not go out there to preach. And I says, have no man know it, because last time I went out there, I got into 6 meetings in about 3 days. Ministered 6 times. And I says, no, I didn't come out here to preach. I came out here, and I want no one to know it. And so he went into that far-off region that he might have a rest. Whew. He wanted to stay unknown for that very short time. And then go back probably into Galilee and once more preach the gospel to those that might gather to hear him. That's what I thought. I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to take a rest. But let us learn tonight from this story not to make a lot out of a little, not to magnify the insignificant things, lest we drive Christ away from us. You know, you get to arguing and debating about things and you drive Christ right out of your life. I mean, not out of your life, but I mean away from you. Whew. And let's beware not to heed the traditions of men and then set aside the commandments of God, lest Christ leave. lest that he leave us and all of a sudden we feel sort of dry. Lest he go somewhere else and so that the candlestick be taken out of our midst and that we be left in the dark. Let us go on preaching the word of God. Let us go on with our street ministries. Let us go on with what God has called us to do. And then notice also that even when Jesus Christ goes away weary, and I went away weary, I was tired. You know what I mean? The second time I went, I was physically tired. You know what I mean by tired? I mean bone weary. How many know what that means, bone weary? When your bones ache and you're bone weary? Huh? How many here have been bone weary? And I went off and I just wanted to be all by myself, but I couldn't do that. God wouldn't have that, would he? God was having me to do the same thing Jesus was, to go to meet somebody. One person in particular, my younger sister. And I got out there and I was able to minister to her, and the power of God was in that booth. We were sitting in there and the power of the Lord was with it. And I thought, my God, I'm out here to rest and God is using me. And I felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And then from her to my sister, other sister. And then from her to my brother. And such a wonderful thing happened out there. I believe there are eternal decrees that have been appointed that on a certain area, on a certain spot, there'll be someone there to meet you. Someone there that needs your help, and he knew this. Therefore, he was off to Tyre and Sidon and says, see how much the Savior loved one soul. He left all this work to go out there, and he knew something was going to happen when he was out there. I do not think if we see a thousand souls saved, we'll really know what it's all about until we have the joy of just one sinner brought to Christ and can fully receive the full joy of just one sinner brought to Jesus Christ. We'll never know. Say amen, somebody. Then we're ready for the thousands, but we have to appreciate that one. And so let us be ever on the watch and be willing to be drifted by providence anywhere. Oh, it's Saturday. I'm going to stay home. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I've set my mind. I got it all planned out. The phone rings. And I think what you have to do right then and there is pray about it. And if you get a witness or God speaks to you or you put a fleece out or whatever, be willing to go at that time. Now, maybe when you go down to street ministry, you don't always feel like going. I think all times you don't really feel like going. But if God has sent you to do that, and God says, go to that street down there, Straight Street or Plymouth Avenue or whatever, you go down there. You know that God has sent you down there. You know something's going to happen every time. I knew when I got out to California that I was sent of the Lord that second time. I knew I was sent the first time, and I knew I was sent the second time. And there was a condition I didn't want to face when I got out there. And then there was a death the second time I didn't want to look at. But I knew when I got out there, even though I wanted no man to even be around me, that God was going to use me. So we have this woman in this story. She wasn't even a Jew. She didn't belong to God's chosen people. He hadn't come to preach to her kind. No covenant promises were ever made to those people. No gospel message was ever given. Nothing. Not a thing. She belonged to no church. And I thought to myself, how great that is, that we have people that come into the mission here that don't belong to any kind of church. Oh, great. Never heard the gospel. Never cracked open a Bible. Never read the Bible. Probably have never ever prayed in the whole of their life. Such was this woman, not a Jew, but a Canaanite. those that were condemned to die, those that had built idols, those that were under this woman, this Judas of a woman, this Jezebel, who tried to destroy the worship of Jehovah God with idol gods. Maybe some of you hearing me and the sound of my voice on the radio are this far away from Christ. But you know what? Yet probably you have faith towards Him. It seems to me that many times that God finds His best servants among His very worst enemies. Some of the brightest diamonds in Christ's crown, I believe, have been dug out of the darkest mines. And I hope then, too, that someone listening who is far, far away from God might hear the great silver trumpet blast out and blow and say in their heart tonight, or say in their heart today while you're listening to this radio program, I will go to Jesus, and I will go to Jesus with tears in my eyes, for I believe that He is the Son of God, mighty to save. And I will overcome every obstacle until I come to Him. I will obtain salvation at His very hands. And that is my very first point here tonight. This woman was altogether an outsider. And I hope some of you that are afar off will come to Jesus for salvation. I hope that someone listening on the radio that's afar off, maybe even in here tonight. But then she had a very dreadful case to plead. It says she came to Jesus Christ to plead for her daughter who was grievously vexed with a devil. Now, I think, it'd be easy enough to come to Christ if you had a hearing problem or you wanted the sight. But here she comes, possessed with a devil or even legions of devils. Now, maybe some of you listening are saying, my case is too horrible to come to Jesus Christ. Not so. Not so. Oh, that some poor heart listening to this radio program, some poor heart in here tonight, driven to almost despair. I can remember being on Skid Row and driven to despair. I mean, despair. Now, it's hard to describe it. Now, I'm not just talking about a hard time in your life. I'm talking about despair. When there is totally nowhere to go, when you have no confidence in yourself whatsoever, when you feel like you are totally nothing, when you feel like you are non-existent, when you feel like you're numb, when you cannot feel any pain anymore, no pain whatsoever, because you are numbed with despair. And someone can come up and kick you right in the seat of the pants. You would not care. You'd say within yourself, do it again, if you felt it at all. That's where people are at. Maybe there's some Skid Row bum down there tonight. Let me encourage you, brother. I don't care if you puked all over the front of your vest. Your old, dirty, grubby clothes, God's watching you, and He wants you. Don't fall off into despair. Whew. But now then, of course, then secondly, this woman was not only herself far from all the outward religious privileges, but she had a very dreadful plea, I said. She had a daughter vexed with a devil. What a way to go to Jesus. Not wanted. Not part of the religious people that were called. Jesus didn't come for them. Here she is. So I'm going to call on Him anyway. May this woman encourage you tonight. But also, when this woman came to Christ, she found that He was shut up, away from her. Whew, imagine. Let me run back to Mark's rendition of this. In the Gospel of Mark, it's recorded like this. Mark says that when Jesus Christ went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, He entered into a house and would have no man know it. I don't want anybody to know that I'm in here. Now, it's quite clear right there that he wanted some kind of rest. You see, he had traveled, let's say, incognito, for he didn't want it to be known. Don't tell anybody I'm here. He had gone into the house and he had shut the door. And then Mark adds like this, but he could not be hid for a certain woman. We know who it is. Whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. But he could not be hid. You can't hide Christ. He could not be hid for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. Imagine her standing outside. Now, I'd like to imagine it was cold and raining, so I'll just imagine it was, okay? And a little bit of wind to go with it, too. And she beats on the door. And she knows that every knock is an irritating knock. She knows that every knock is an invasion of privacy. And then we have Peter. He comes to the door and says, no, you can't see him. He's shut away. And then John walks up. Don't trouble the master. What's wrong with you? Why do you keep rapping on the door? And then practical James probably adds something like this. My good woman, this matter, it's got to rest with us. You got to go through us first. And isn't that a lot of churches? You got to go through us to get to Christ. And isn't that a lot of people? You got to go this way to come to Christ. You got to go through this teaching or that teaching, or you got to go through this Bible or that Bible, or you got to go the way Fred went or the way Pete went or the way these people go or those people go. No, you come to Christ all on your own. And she was coming to Christ all on her own. But anyway, James, you know, he's practical. And he says, well, my good woman, let this rest with us. The master must not be interrupted. And she looks at him. He says, well, but he's weary and he needs a rest. And they're all standing there kind of peeking over each other's shoulders, you know. It says that they all conspired to keep her away, for he would have no man know where he was. He had asked them in particular to guard the door. Don't let no man know I'm in here. I think he wanted to recover from the sickness of heart he felt since his talk with the Pharisees. Oh, how many times in my ministry have I felt sick in my heart over somebody that just did not think about what they were saying, and they came and said, sometimes we say the most damnable things, we all do. We don't think about it. We don't think if it's of Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you something. If you get prophecy, if it isn't for the clearing up and the cheering up and the building up of the body, it's not prophecy. If it's a prophecy that tears down, roots up, and upsets people, it's not prophecy. All prophecy is in right now, and any prophecy that comes forth out of the Word of God right now is for the building up and the clearing up and the cheering up of saints. Period. Period, period, period. Don't you hear none other. Say amen. Because if there's a chastening to happen, that chastening will happen to you by Christ, to you as an individual, and no other way, by the Holy Ghost.
So if you're tilting.